Scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything and in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
It's on New Year's Day that we make resolutions. When we look forward and we say, what are we going to accomplish? How are we going to change ourselves? What do we hope to see, to do, to be in the coming year? But this is not January 1st. This is December 29, the last Sunday of the year 2019. Think back 12 months. What were the resolutions that you made for yourself at the start of this year? Maybe you said, I'm going to lose 15 pounds, and now you only have 20 more to go. Maybe you said, I'm going to quit smoking, and you did. Or maybe you said you were going to be nicer to your spouse or travel more, you know, all these kind of things. But whatever it was, how did you do? Most people, they say, when they do that honest kind of evaluation of the end of the year, they say, yeah, those resolutions, they kind of fell away. Up until January, at the end of January, I was still going to the gym, but after that, I just quit paying the fees for the fitness center because it was a waste of money anyway. Some you've kept. That's kind of the way life is. Dreaming and hoping, striving, sometimes achieving, and sometimes not. But that doesn't mean we don't try. It doesn't mean we stop making resolutions. It means we gotta strive going on. That first Sunday of 2019, you know what we talked about? What was our preaching text for that day? Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 23. So if while Corey was reading, you say, boy, this sounds familiar, that's because it was the verse, the passage of Scripture that we said, this is going to empower us, this is going to drive us into this year that will be so that we can be together the people of God as He wants us to be. We noted at that time that resolutions tend to be kind of self-focused, right? I am going to lose weight. I am going to sing more. I am going to be a more positive person. I'm not going to complain so much. Whatever it was we said, they're all about us, the things that will make us healthier and make us happier. But this text drives us not to think about ourselves as individuals. It says we should be thinking about the church and our role collectively as part of it. The Bible says that the church is a body. The people of God are a bride, and we have to kind of work together so that one identity, that one thing that we are, can move forward and accomplish that which God wants. So we said, we noted that it's not all about us. That what I want isn't nearly as important as what we want as a church. And it's certainly even less important than what God wants for us. Say, we want to be the community that is obedient to God's call. If that means I have to let go of some things that feel right to me but don't seem to be right for the church, or that seem right to me but when I study Scripture is clearly not what is right in God's eyes, it's not the way He is setting things in motion, then we need to be humble and give up sometimes that which we want, so that what God wants happens, so that the church advances and the kingdom is revealed. And that's countercultural. That's counterintuitive. We live in a world which says, you identify what you want, you determine what you need, and then you do whatever you have to do to accomplish it, to get it. This is all about you. You are the center of your own universe. And what the Scripture reveals to us is that we are not the center of our own universe. That we have to sublimate our own things for the things of the gospel. For that which is of the kingdom has to become our priority. We give up some things in us so that God can accomplish His greater vision for the church and the world. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. And that is why discipleship is so important. That's why we need to be in communication with each other, talking to each other, so that we can encourage one another to understand the things of God, to know what is the will of God for us as a community, so that we can be obedient, not to our own selfish desires, but to the divine desires of our Lord, and can reveal the kingdom of God. Now, for us to do this, and this is, again, just kind of rehashing what we said a year ago, is that in order for us to do this, to be that different kind of people, that refreshed kind of community, we need to receive from God the Spirit of wisdom. Because what is the will of God? What does it mean in this complicated world, this technological, fast-moving society that we're in? What does it mean to do the will of God? And how do we together know what it is to do the will of God, to be that kind of transforming community? We say, well, we need wisdom. Wisdom that is the gift of God. And the second thing is, we need revelation. We need to hear God. We need to know what He is saying and have the grace to actually follow it, to obey what the Lord says, so that we can know God better, so that we can know ourselves better, so we can understand how we move in this world that God has created, but which is fallen, which needs reclamation and renewal. Well, the good news is that revelation is given to us. We have the Scripture, and as a Christian church, we say the Bible has been given to us, inspired by the Spirit, so that we can indeed have insight into the mind of God and know who we are in light of God and have a sense of what we're supposed to do. And so we need to be people of the book. We need to be those who honor the Word of God and say it's not just a relic. It's not some dusty old tome that sits on the shelf. Say, the Bible is for us a living document that we read with gratitude and eagerness so that we can follow. And the wisdom that is needed is a spiritual gift given to the church. And just in myself, I don't have that kind of wisdom. And just in yourself, you don't have that kind of wisdom. But the gift of the Spirit to the church is that wisdom, so that we say when we come together and we discern the Spirit, we say it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us, we believe that the gift of wisdom is guiding that. So, thanks be to God, we have hope even as we look at what is our calling. The other thing that it says in this text, and I think it's such a beautiful line. As Corey read it, I don't know if it caught your attention, but it says, may it be that the eyes of their hearts are enlightened. The eyes of your heart. I think it's such a beautiful thing. You see, a heart's this pumping thing, but it's also the seat of emotion and passion. And out of that emotion and that passion, we're given insight. We're allowed to see through that so that our passion isn't chaotic, it's not destructive. By the grace of God, it is a discerning passion. And we see the hope to which we are called. We understand the riches of the glorious inheritance that is for the holy people of God. And we know the incomparably great power for those who believe. We see that our God is the Creator, and we see that power has been given to the church, to the people of God, so that they can accomplish these things. It's not a fool's errand. It's not a hopeless journey that we're on as God's people moving through time, trying to accomplish things for the world. Say, the Lord has given power to us, so that together we can accomplish great things for the kingdom. We did in January that our dreams and our hopes and our aspirations are not a given. We say these are the things that we think by the wisdom God has provided that we should accomplish. Well, that doesn't mean necessarily that they will be accomplished, because God lays it on us to engage in that ministry, to be faithful, to overcome the obstacles, to not be discouraged. Yet it is true that obstacles, when they are thrown in front of us, they can trip us up. And they do trip us up, because we are still people, mere mortals, trying to accomplish a divine agenda. So, let's take stock for a moment. How did we do in 2019? Standing here at the end of the year, having said, these are the things we want to do. We said, We wanted to experience a deeper intimacy with God. That we want to be people who, we talk about the Word, we want to be people of the Word. We wanted to be people of prayer. We wanted to be a spiritual people. We said, wouldn't it be great if our community said, you know where there's a really spiritual community of people that are obviously committed to Jesus and want to follow Him? You know where that place is? That is Bethel. If you want to see the church as it is Spirit-filled and obedient, go to Bethel. That's what we said. That was our dream. How do you think we did? Do you feel like you have a closer relationship with God today than you did at the beginning of January? Did you experience 2019 as a year of personal growth, of spiritual intimacy? I hope so. I hope that a year of worship and a year of personal devotions, a year of engaging in ministry has made you draw near unto God. Each of us have to answer this question for ourselves. As a community, do we feel that we are more spiritual? I'm not so sure, actually. I think that we're not done on that goal. I think we need to continue to work on that. And I think that there have been obstacles to our spiritual growth that we have indeed stumbled over. And we need to not give up. This is a goal that doesn't end for 2019. This is something that we're going to have to continue on. Because we need to be that kind of community. Related to that, we said, is we want to be a people of hope. That when there were hard times, when there were losses, and we acknowledged at the beginning of the year that there would be those things, that there would be loss, there would be grief, there would be setbacks of different kinds. This is yet, we want to be a people, even then, that has hope. And I think we did better at that. As I look over the year, as we said when we were having Lord's Supper, that there were 6 times as a church that members of our fellowship were laid to rest because they had gone to be with the Lord. And at each of those celebrations of life, there was a celebration of the hope that we have. I felt my faith strengthened by the testimonies that were given in the face of our deepest loss. And while I grieve everyone that has gone to be with the Lord, I do not grieve, and this church does not grieve as people who have no hope. We grieve as those who know that we serve a resurrected Lord. People who know that Jesus is coming again and that He will raise up all of His people and that we will meet the Lord together in the air and give glory to Him together forever. We have that hope. And that became even stronger. We talked about the fact that we wanted to acknowledge that our inheritance is from God and we wanted to be good stewards of that gift. There's multiple dimensions to this. Our inheritance, there's a spiritual inheritance, knowing who we are, knowing who our Lord is, and living as the children of God who are not cut off, are not disowned, and not removed from the will. But we are embraced and we possess all things because our Father is the Creator of heaven and earth. There's also the dimension of stewardship that is, you know, our physical realities, our financial realities. So God has gifted us to be the wealthiest generation on the face of the earth any time in history. How blessed are we to have so much comfort, so many assets, so much potential to travel and to own things and to be blessed by them. The question is, have we been faithful stewards of all these things that God has given us all throughout the year? I personally wouldn't give us an A+ on this one. Right? When the administration team and the deacons are always telling us, oh boy, we don't know if we're going to make budget. No, we have to cut this and cut that because giving is down. And think, well, why is that? And I think that there is a spiritual answer to that. I've not wanted to make a big deal about this. I say that's for our council members to speak to people, you know, in home visits, but nobody wants to talk about that stuff because it's so personal. Like, keep your hands out of my wallet. You know, who are you to tell me how much I should give? Blah, blah, blah. But the fact is that the greatest indicator of spiritual health in our society is how much you're giving to the work of the kingdom. And if you are holding back giving to the ministry of the church for selfish or materialistic or reasons of personal greed, then it's been a bad year. But if we have indeed looked at what we've been given and given in accordance with that cheerfully and gratefully, then that's been a good year. So I wouldn't say we failed, but I think that there's room for growth in this area. I don't know if you like it that I say that. Oh well, that's the kind of thing I feel like I've got to say. And it's not all about money, and I worry, and all of our guests, you know, the reason that I'm often really fearful of talking about money and giving is that the stereotype that the world has about the church, that it's really all about money. And they want you to come to church so that you can start paying, so that they can do what they want. And that's really not it. Together, speaking to the church, we want to say, we want to return to the Lord in righteous measure so that the work of God can continue. And for each that's different, and there's circumstances and it's complicated, I know. So we'll just leave it at that. We acknowledge the fact together that the church will move forward if it takes hold of the power that has been granted to it. That we are a people. We say, "Oh, I'm just one person, you know, and in the big scheme of things, I'm pretty insignificant, you know. Who ever will remember me?" We talk like that. But the fact is that the power of God is given to the church, and the church is made up of God's people who are called and equipped. Scripture says that. That the church is a mighty army, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We sometimes get that image mixed up. We don't really get it. See, the gates are a defensive structure. The gates of hell are defensive. They're fixed. They're there to keep people from going in. The people of God, the church, is an army that's on the move, and they attack these stationary gates. And they breach those gates. They knock them down so that the church can go in and be powerful and effective in revealing the kingdom of God. The church will prevail, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell, all the work of evil, will fall before the work of the church. And we need to seize that power. Sometimes it seems like we're an army that says, we don't feel we're up to it. So we're just going to retreat. We're going to have our little bivouac and sit in our tents and moan about the enemy who's so strong and powerful. not realizing that the power of God is given to the church so that we can attack and we can defeat evil and we can reveal righteousness. Was this a year when we said, let's take that power? I think we can move on. I think we can accomplish. Christ is the guarantor of all these things. Now, for every moment of 2019, that we were faithful, that we accomplished what the Lord desired, when we showed the grace of the gospel and lived it, thanks be to God. Where we've shown that there's growth areas for us as the people of God, let's move from that. We're going to go into a new year, and next Sunday we're going to talk about our dreams for the future. Let's not forget what we dreamed about for this year and build on that and grow. The Lord has been the Lord of 2019. We have done a lot together. By the grace of God, we have welcomed children into the fellowship. We have seen weddings performed. We have had people do profession of faith. And these are signs of the breaking in of the kingdom. Remember Brandon and Mariah Vandermeer, and Paul and Alyssa Nusonga, and Dwayne and Deirdre Vanderlucht? They are together, and we give thanks to God for them. We remember Everly Grun and Eli Grun, new to the world and new to our fellowship. Where would we be without the Gruns, eh? And both Thomas and Andrew Lobert made professions of faith. There are people that are ready to do profession of faith in 2020. So we know that it will be a good year too. There are some people who left our fellowship. Michael Vanderweerd, Michael DeWeerd, Karina Vandering, Henry and Jenny Voss, Brianna Zanstra, Margaret DeWeerd Vanderboer, and Mike and Alicia Hutchings, formerly departed from our fellowship for a variety of reasons, and we thank God that He continues to guide and bless them. We also have received people into our fellowship, not formal. It seems that formal membership, you know, is almost going away. So people are less anxious to become official members, even as they become vital members of the fellowship. And for all of them too, we are grateful. But the Lord is not done with us. He used us. He worked among us. And there were lots of ministries that happened in 2019. And I don't even want to start listing them, because for sure I will miss something, but you can't but note the ministry of the cadets and the GEMS and Coffee Break, children's ministries and outreach ministries and fellowship ministries. We've had lots of education. A lot of wonderful stuff has happened in Bethel in 2019. And for all of that and for all those that led and participated, we are grateful. But most of all, we are grateful to God. And we give glory to Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the gospel, first of all, and for bringing us into that story. For all the ways in this year that we have responded to Your call and done things and attacked those gates, we are grateful. For where we've stumbled, well, Lord, pick us up and brush us off and let us continue. All of it, we say, is thanks be to You. And where we give You glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.